It's Ask the Expert with attorneys Charlie Cochran and Rachel Erickson on News Talk 1350 and FM 103.5 KSRO. Ask your legal questions by calling the show at 707-636-1350.
Hi, folks. Charlie Cochran here, live in the KSRO studio with you every Monday from 12 to 12:30. I come in here with my partner, Rachel Erickson, and we field your legal questions. If you have a legal question for us, give us a call down here at the studio at 636-1350. That's 636-1350. Now, as you know, every Monday we come in here with some topic. And today, what I thought we'd talk about, just as an example of some of the cases we've settled in the last couple of weeks. And so... But before I talk about settlements in the last couple of weeks, I wanted to have us talk a little bit about a jury trial we recently had. Now, Rachel, we recently defended an employer, and the employer was a local business that was being sued by a former employee for wrongful termination. And we don't usually do defense work, but this is a long-standing client, and we wanted to put it out there that we do represent employers, and we have some special background in that. As a matter of fact, I taught for the last 25 years. I've taught elimination of bias, discrimination, sexual harassment. And I just wanted to remind those employers out there that if they have more than 50 employees, they have to have mandatory sexual harassment training that goes on at least once every 2 years. So, Rachel, let's talk a little bit about our recent jury trial. I know it's one that you've been angsting about the last couple of weeks, and we did it together.
Yeah, I did most of the ramping up to it. I did myself, and I've been working on it for quite a while. And like Charlie said, we don't do a lot of defense work, but you know, we sometimes have somebody who needs it done, friends or longstanding clients or even new clients. Sometimes they'll come in and say, hey, I need a little help here. And it was a really interesting case for me. And it turned out wonderfully for our client. We felt from the beginning of the case that there was just really not a lot there from the plaintiff's side. And I felt like we had a good shot at defending it. And we did indeed get a defense verdict. So I feel like we won the case. But, you know, it still cost the employer quite a bit of money. And these cases are really, really strongly pro plaintiff. They really put all the cards in the plaintiff's hands.
In favor of the employee.
And such things as if they come away with a dollar, they get all of their attorney's fees back. But the defense, if you want your attorney's fees, you have to prove that the case was frivolous. And that's a pretty high bar to hurdle. And I haven't decided whether we're going to do a motion for that or not. I mean, I guess what harm is there other than, you know, the fees it costs to do it, but very heavily stacked in the employee's favor. So if you're an employee out there, just know that the deck is stacked in your favor.
Now, in this case, there was a claim of discrimination based upon a disability.
And there was a physical disability claim, and there was a claim that the employer had failed to accommodate that disability. There was a claim that the employer did not engage in the interactive process, which means that if you have an employee that has a disability and has a doctor's note, that you need to be able to accommodate them and do what the doctor says. And then there was also the part that kind of had me edgy was they had a claim that they had acted inappropriately as to politics. And managers, supervisors there was all gung-ho about a political campaign and had asked people if they wanted to join the political campaign and, you know, walk door to door and go to meet and greets and stuff like that for this particular politician. So, and believe it or not, there is a law that says that you're not supposed to try to influence your employees about politics. You're not supposed to direct them. You're not supposed to coerce them. But the jury found that our people, our employers, did not actually coerce or do anything wrong in that arena, which I'm very glad to say. It was kind of a wobbler, and I was not sure that they were going to come back on that. And then my client would have been stuck with the attorney's fees as well as whatever award they gave. So very happy with the result. Very different kind of a case for me. Like I said, I don't do a lot of defense work. And when I do, it's funny because it's like you win, but you win by getting nothing. So it's kind of, I mean, we'll get our costs back, but not our fees probably. So, and there is a difference between costs and fees. Costs are, you know, money that you lay out of your pocket for your client, or that your client has to lay out for deposition transcripts and stuff like that, that can tend to be very, very expensive. So we'll get some of that kind of stuff back. And so it was a very, very difficult time for me. I made myself kind of sick. I was so anxious about it. But we came back with a great verdict. Client is happy. Supervisors are happy. Business is happy. And so on we go.
What do we have to do now is to improve their employer handbook. And we have to engage them in some kind of discussion about how they're supposed to handle employees from now on.
Yeah, it was really, really nice. I got to tell you, if you ever do have jury service, and we've done shows on jury service and how important it is and how much we appreciate that you have to go and sit there and listen to this, but it really is our sense of justice in this country, and a lot of other countries don't have the justice system that we have, but it's really super appreciated by the attorneys and the judge, and the judge sends out thank you letters, and we all say thank you. And this jury was great. Several of them stayed after the trial was over, and you know, it was really nice. They spoke to my client and said, hey, your business practices are kind of shoddy. You need to improve your handbook. You need to improve your practices. You're just lucky this time. So
kind of interesting. One of our jurors was a federal judge.
It was awesome. I kept her. I was real happy to have her on there. And she did just exactly what I hoped she would do, which was stay after and tell my client that, you know, he needs to improve his business practices, because I can say it all day long, but to have the jury say, hey, you know, you just got lucky this time, you need to improve your employee handbook. And so that's my next job for him. Is I have a memorandum of costs out there that I'm going to finish up today, and I already did the judgment form, and then I'm going to do a new handbook for him, and he really needs it improved, and so I'm going to improve that for him. And and it all turned out great. So, yeah.
If you have any questions about the law, go ahead and give us a call at 636-1350. That's 636-1350. Another case we settled in the last week was a trip and fall case where a business actually was supposed to have a chain across a step that they didn't have up, and a man actually tripped over the stair when the chain wasn't up, and fell over and hurt his eye and fractured his orbital socket. And we settled that case just on Friday, and that was a real favorable settlement.
And that one we did by mediation, which we are big proponents of mediation because it puts some of the control of the case into your own hands. If you go to a jury trial, you don't know what those jurors are going to do. But if you go to a settlement conference or a mediation, there's a little bit of control that you can settle or not settle. And we've had a lot of really favorable settlements this year already, which is kind of crazy. Usually the beginning of the year is a little slower, but we've been shot right out of the chute this year, and it's been pretty interesting, and largely Charlie's doing, because I've been largely stuck in, well, not stuck, largely really busy preparing this trial. And that takes a couple of weeks to even get started on it. And then when you're in trial, and then you have to exchange documents, and it's quite a process. So I started that in December, and the jury trial started January 26th. And then we just finished.
So
shortly, about 5 days thereafter.
One of the cases we settled in the last week was a trip and fall. Another one was a slip and fall. Now, Rachel mentioned the concept of mediation. What happens there is a mediator actually is agreed to by the parties, and the mediator tries to get you to settle the case.
And that mediator is somebody you pick to be neutral. They don't have, you know, as they say, they don't have a dog in the fight. They don't have any opinion about who should win or who shouldn't win when you go into it. It's nothing personal.
They don't make a decision.
They're there to try and help you come to some place where you can, you know, meet in the middle somewhere, or, you know, and put pressure on both sides. And this one was a male, and he did a great job. And so we were successful, or Charlie was largely successful with that one. Trip and falls are very difficult cases.
Trip and fall and slip and fall. We actually settled a case against a big grocery chain. Because they had a substance on the floor and they didn't clean it up. Now, grocery chains, the big ones like Safeway and Lucky and Albertsons and Raley's, they have to go and make sure their floors are clean every 20 minutes. And so those are called sweep sheets. Have the people actually gone around and looked down and to make sure there's nothing on the floor that could be a hazard or a slip and fall hazard for the people that are grocery shopping.
And there is a long line of case law on these and what a grocery chain, and usually it's grocery chains, that you have a slip and fall, but we just took in another case that's both a trip and fall and a slip and fall. So those are particularly difficult cases, but the law is very well developed in those areas, so we've been pretty successful.
And
with
we've
them.
Settled a lot of those slip and falls and trip and fall cases. Now, if you have a question, go ahead and give us a call at 636-1350. I'm Charlie Cochran with Rachel Erickson, and this is Monday's edition of Ask the Expert.
North Bay play-by-play home of the Golden State Warriors and Oakland Raiders. FM News Talk Radio 103.5, 94.5, KSRO.
Hi, my name is Chris. I am an actual client of Charlie Cochran. When I met with Charlie for the first time, I was very nervous because I didn't know if we had a case. You really put together a great case. After the case was settled, Charlie got us a financial planner, a trust attorney, and he recommended a CPA. I highly recommend you call Charlie Cochran if you have been injured through no fault of your own.
For more information, go to kcehlaw.com or call 707-544-9006.
Do you want to find the best deals in Sonoma County? They're just a click away at mysonomadeals.com. Right now, you can get $50 in farmers market bucks for just $25. You can enjoy fresh local produce, artisan goods, live music, and so much more at the Petaluma and Santa Rosa Community Farmers Markets for half the price. There are always current deals on dining, family fun, and more for half price. Visit the KSRO homepage to check out this week's offers or go straight to mysonomadeals.com to start saving.
KSRO, AM, FM, and online. Depend on it.
It's Ask the Expert with attorneys Charlie Cochran and Rachel Erickson on News Talk 1350 and FM 103.5 KSRO. Ask your legal questions by calling the show at 707-636-1350.
Hi, folks. Charlie Cochran live in the KSRO studio here with my partner Rachel Erickson, and we talk about some aspect of the law. And today we're talking about some of the cases that we've resolved even in the last 2 weeks. We've talked about the jury trial we had with the employer and the employee that ended up with a favorable jury verdict for us. We've talked about a slip and fall that we've resolved in the last 2 weeks. We've resolved a trip and fall in the last 2 weeks. We resolved a case that is kind of interesting in its fact pattern, because you had a, let's call it a boyfriend, moving out of a mobile home, and a girlfriend that is looking for a ladder that's on the back of his truck that belongs to her, and she's standing on the back bumper, and he takes off. So it's kind of a unique case where you got a lady that's standing on the back bumper, and the guy takes off in his truck, and she falls off the truck. So we resolved that case in the last couple of weeks. We've resolved a case against the Indian Gaming Casino. Now, we do take cases against Indian gaming casinos, and I have to tell you, they're not all the same. We've had cases against the Grayton Casino. We've had cases against the River Rock Casino. We've had cases, we know of cases that are involving Cache Creek. Now, these are not all the same. I'm telling you they're not, because we've had these cases. What's interesting is if you can't resolve a case with the organization called Tribal First, then in the case of the Indian Gaming Casino, you go, in the Grayton Rancheria, you go to either binding arbitration or mediation with a group called JAMS, Judicial Arbitration Mediation Service.
And what they do is the tribes usually have, in order to build these compacts, they sign a compact with the state of California saying, we will follow your laws. I've seen cases in researching this many years ago. There's the case out of Yolo County where the Indian tribe was supposed to sign this compact that they would follow California law, and they never signed it. So the case against the tribe was not valid. So, you know, you have to be real careful about what you're doing when you're working with that. But it does. They usually do follow California law.
Now, in that case, they actually had agreed to follow California employment law, but they didn't. And what happened was the plaintiff sued the Indian Gaming Casino over in Yolo County, and the Superior Court judge, in effect, tossed the case because he had no jurisdiction. Now, that's the interesting thing about Indian Gaming Casinos. If you're going to try to sue the Indian Gaming Casino, you're not going to be able to, because those are sovereign nations, and you're not going to be able to sue the Indian Gaming Casino.
Unless they have one of these compacts, and you have to get a copy of it so you know what it says.
Now, we have Steve from Santa Rosa. Steve, hello.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm doing good. How you doing?
I'm doing good, too. I got a question. I share a house with two other people, and one of them, he's a good friend of mine. He owes the county money for probation. So he has, you know, an agreement with the county that he could make payments. And he's been making payments for over a year. And this year he had money coming back from the state tax refund. And the state just sent them a letter saying, well, you owed the county of Sonoma County X amount of money, and we sent your return to the county with no notice, you know, no warning or nothing. And that doesn't seem fair to me, because he's got a, you know, agreement that he's living up to with the county. He's making payments. He's not missing any payments. Yet, you know, the state government just takes his money. To me, it's like going into my bank account and saying, well, you know, we found out you have $2,000 in your account and you owe us $1,000, so we just took it.
Yeah,
How hard is it to sue the government?
It's really hard in this
really,
situation.
Really
I'll tell you something. I'm going to tell you something personally. I owed money for taxes for the 2015 year, and I was getting a refund for the 2016 year, and the government took it. And the bottom line is, they can do that. And I'm sorry to tell you that that's the state of the law.
Yeah, they're mean about that kind of stuff.
Yeah, the federal government can take your state stuff. The county can take your state stuff. The state can take your county stuff. and vice versa on the federal. So the problem is if you owe the government money, they can take your money, even in the even in the face of an agreement.
Well, it just doesn't seem fair. I mean, I've had it happen to me too. I owe the IRS, but they told me beforehand, you know, I was making payments to them. And then when I wasn't getting returns, and then when I made more money and I had returns coming, they told me up front, hey, you know, we're going to automatically take that from you until your balance is paid, which that's all right. But the, you know, the no notice, you know, just, you know, here the guy, he's going paycheck to paycheck and he was really counting on that money. And then he just gets a letter going, oh, by the way, we, you know, took your money.
And I'm going to even tell you this, the state is more doggish than the feds. I mean, state of California, you know, just hounds you for money if you owe them money. That's unlike the federal government. But the state government is really hard on you.
They're mean.
Yeah.
If you owe anybody anything, they're going to take it. So sorry for the bad news on that one.
But I'll tell you, I would call and ask a tax attorney if they can do that. And I would say in town here, we've got a CPA attorney named Dan Davis, and I would ask you to give him a call.
All right. Yeah, overall, though, you know, it seems like if you get into a beef with the government and the, you know, if it's something not like this, but anything where they're wrong, it's almost impossible to sue them because they have unlimited resources and you have to go get a lawyer yourself and pay for it out of pocket and risk losing it, where they can just, you know, they got unlimited funds and unlimited time. And there's just something wrong with that.
Yeah. Problem is, they can do that. I'm sorry that under the tax codes, they can do that. I know I've had it happen to me. I'm sorry.
Yeah. I've had it happen to me too. It just, you know, I don't know. It's like, where do you turn? How do you change this? What, do you got to go to your representative and have them change the law?
Absolutely. As a matter of fact, I would ask you to do that, is go and call your state senator, your assemblyman, and tell them it's just not right.
Yeah. Especially now, you know, like I said, the guy's going paycheck to paycheck, you know, that money, he was counting on that money to pay bills.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, well, we decided this bill was more important, so we just took it from you.
Yeah. No, I know.
You know, it's not your money. It's our money.
That's right. That's right. Okay. Thanks, you, Steve. Thanks for the question. Yeah, again, like Steve, if you have any questions on the law, reserve them for the Mondays at 12 to 12:30 and give Rachel and I a call down here at the studio at 636-1350. That's 636-1350. Now, Rachel, we recently settled a case that was involving a former county official. Now, that was a case that's flat out emotional distress.
Yeah, that's pretty much the extent of it. And we all know who it was and we all know what it was. So I believe Pliny the Elder was involved in socks and underwear.
And
we did finally resolve that case.
And it's a confidential settlement. We also resolved a case.
No, it's not a confidential settlement.
Yeah, well, let's not talk about it. Okay. Larry's case involved the fact that he tried to do what you should do, which is pull off the road and use your cell phone. So he pulled off the road and used his cell phone. Unfortunately, the car behind him didn't realize he had pulled off the road and rounded the corner and rear-ended him. And the case here involves a head injury. Now, we've had a lot of cases involving head injuries and have been very successful with them.
I get a lot of phone calls from other attorneys about head injury cases. I'm well known throughout the state to specialize in that area because it's a special interest to me. And my background is psychology. I have a bachelor's degree in psychology from UC Santa Cruz.
Go banana slugs.
Go fast. There's a lot that's very complicated about traumatic head injury cases. There's also, you know, there's always going to be a complication between whether that's what's going on or whether it's PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder, combined with medication, because a lot of the symptoms can be the same. So you really have to know your way around those cases. And a lot of attorneys think they do, but really don't. So you really need to understand the testing that's involved and why it comes out the way it does. And so we've done a lot of that and had several shows on the topic.
And we also have we have special training in that area, and we know what doctors to refer you to properly diagnose you. And it doesn't necessarily mean it's a traumatic brain injury. It can be a mild traumatic brain injury. We used to think you had to lose consciousness in order to have one of these injuries, but that's not true. Then we thought at one time you had to have an amnestic event. Now we just know you can be dazed and confused
at the time of the incident.
Right.
And then usually there's some loss of memory going on. I mean, the symptoms are very difficult to deal with. And I'm happy to say that due to NFL testing, the National Football League has done a lot of education on this. Thank goodness it was about time. And that has helped the medical community understand that it needs to be taken more seriously, because they were not diagnosing it when I first started, and now they're getting better. So
if you've had an auto accident involving a concussion or a trip and fall, give us a call down at the office at 544-9006. That's 544-9006. This is Monday's edition of Ask the Expert.